This show is huge.
The Michigan Sports Network and The Huge Show present the DraftKings Sportsbook NFL Power Hour. Over the next 60 minutes, Huge, former NFL running back Merrill Hodge, and DraftKings Big Picks insider Lee Sterling will break down the Lions and the rest of the NFL games. Make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app this weekend to get in on the NFL action, and always use code HUGE when you sign up to get the promo hookups. Now, let's talk about the Lions and this week in the NFL. Here's the huge one, Bill Simonson.
Thank you, Big Mac. We begin our session together talking about the Lions and the NFL. We do it each and every week, presented by our friends at DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Jeff Risden from the LionsWire.com, part of the USA Today Network, also a co-host on the Detroit Lions podcast. We'll hear from him momentarily. In about 15 minutes, Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back. He's watched the film, Vikings and the Lions. And Tom Rosenbach, managing partner at Bean Carter. He'll tell me how I did in my pro football picks last week in the Beat Huge contest. You can play every week until Sunday morning at thehugeshow.net if you want to get in on that $1,000 in cash. Go make your picks right now at thehugeshow.net. You have an NFL question, comment on the Lions, add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. Also opt in on the Huge text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000. Let's talk about the Lions from thelionswire.com. Also the Detroit Lions podcast. One of the co-hosts, Jeff Risden. He is standing by here on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Huge. I know. I was just looking on Twitter, and I saw that somebody mapped out a way that the Lions can still mathematically make the playoffs, and I'm wondering just how much beer had to be drunk to find that out.
Can you be arrested for a tweet like that? Is that misinformation? Does that get a little Twitter corporate flag on it?
One of those little false information here. Oh, yeah. I guess technically it's mathematically possible, but it ain't happening.
You know what is sad, though, when you do look at this season, and again, I never said playoffs. I never talked playoffs during the offseason. I really thought with the added game that this team could be somewhere between 6 and 9 wins. You're going to get a team, I believe, in the NFC that could finish 8 and 9 that's going to make the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, Washington holds the last playoff spot. That's not a good football team. They're 5 and 6. Minnesota comes in at 5 and 6. The Bears, the Giants are still very much alive. It's crazy in the NFC. There, in fact, could be two teams at the bottom of that NFC playoffs with the way that, that New Orleans has folded up that are in at 8 and 9, 9 and 8. It's crazy. The AFC's worse, by the way.
I know. It's crazy. You know, and that's why when I look at the Lions and how much better the defense has played from a year ago, if you would have told me before this season began, or all offseason, that this Lions offense would be that bad and that defense would have put them in a position literally to be a 5 and 6, 6 and 5 team right now, I would have said, hey, with the offense and that defense plays that well for the most part outside of a few dog games, I'd be happy. This team should be where I thought they would be at this point in the season, you know, 4 and 7, 5 and 6. They really should.
Yeah, and that's very realistic the way that they've played. You know, they have lost 3 games on the very last play of the game. That's unfortunate, and for the most part, they have only themselves to blame. I will say that in the Baltimore loss, that one's on the officials for not calling the delay of game. But, you know, they just haven't ever put it together, both offensively and defensively, for 4 quarters at the same time. And some of that is coaching. Some of that is the lack of talent that they have, really, on both sides of the ball. They don't have a lot of impact players. And it's tough to win in the NFL that way. I do think that the fact that they have improved on the defense and the way that they're doing it is, ironically, the way that Matt Patricia tried and failed. They don't rush the passer well. They're just really good at coverage and mixing things up. and confusing the opposing quarterback. They stopped the run well. They're doing all the things that Matt Patricia wanted but could never do. And now they're doing them, and then the rest of the team has gone to hell in a handbasket. And that's, you know, that's how 0-10-1 happens.
Why are they so bad offensively right now, Jeff? If we go back to August and you would have been Jeff Risden, the magnificent, and you could have told Dan Campbell this is where he would be right now after 11 games, 0-10-1. But if we do this, it could be different. What could have Dan Campbell and his assistants or Holmes done?
You know, they should have gotten one more wide receiver, a legit veteran. Obviously, they tried with Williams and they tried with Perriman. It didn't work. They could have gotten Josh Reynolds earlier. I think that probably would have helped. They could have been more active in getting a guy like Brandon Cooks was available at some point. You know, just somebody who can reliably move the chains and give you some size. Like, Khalif Raymond's a really good deep threat. He's tiny. You're not going to find Jared Goff. That's not the kind of guy that he's going to be looking for when he tries to throw down the field. He needs big targets that he can see. So I think underestimating the timidity with which Jared Goff would attack, I think that probably having known that could go back, would go back and get and do more to address the wide receiver situation, whether it would have been bringing back a guy like Danny Amendola. And look, they didn't want to spend money on veterans, period, because they want to carry as much cap rollover as they can into next year so they can go get free agents this offseason, guys who make an impact. And that's a great theory, but the end product this year has been, it proves that you can't just neglect the positions as much as they did there. And tight end, I think finding that Darren Fells didn't want to be part of a losing situation again was a shock to them. They haven't really done a lot to replace that. You know, the other thing I would say is that they probably should have taken a better quarterback, backup quarterback, than Tim Boyle. Somebody who could come in. Look, they swung and missed on that big time. That's all Brad Holmes. That was his deal. There were other guys who were out there. You look and you see around the league. Like we talked about Washington, Taylor Heinicke is a capable starting quarterback. It's not a guy that I would want running my team. But when Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out for the season, basically, he's come in. He's got them in playoff contention. Why? Because he can make plays on his own. He understands how to use the weapons that he's got, and that's not something that Tim Boyle has done. And that's something that Heinicke showed when he was in Carolina. You know, there was something there. And I think that neglecting the backup quarterback position or trusting it in Tim Boyle, the guy who'd never played before, was probably a mistake. And, you know, maybe they were looking long-term and hoping to get the guy who could be the guy after Goff with him. It was pretty clear from the first practice of training camp where I was at, he wasn't it. So I would have liked to have seen him go back and get somebody different, somebody better at backup quarterback.
His name is Jeff Risden, LionsWire.com, also co-host of the Detroit Lions podcast you can listen to on YouTube. So where's this season going? I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see a win. I know it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, they get the Vikings this weekend in Detroit. Where do you see the best chances for the Lions to post a win, or may I say multiple wins?
Don't ask for too much. That's a little bit of crazy talk. But, you know, weird things do happen this year. Somehow Houston has two wins this year. Somehow the Jets have three wins this year. It's crazy how it happens, and it's crazy that the Lions haven't won one yet. Look, Atlanta cannot stop people, and they don't rush the passer well. And in their last three games, their offense has been abysmal. That's a team that this Lions team, as it is right now, can outscore. The same is true of Denver's iffy because there are games where Denver looks like a playoff team, and there are games where they look like a doormat. You know, so that's a tough one. The one that I've got circled now is at Seattle. The Seahawks are—they're not tanking. They have just gone into the tank. You watch that team. If you watch them Monday night, you've watched that team for the last couple of weeks. The body language around that team, the impression that they have between Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, just attacking the gum with a fervor unknown to mankind. Their defense is rotten. They are below the Lions in every single defensive metric. Seattle is. That team's going nowhere. That's probably the best chance that they have to win. and expecting the Lions to go into Seattle and win that late in the season when Russell Wilson will theoretically anyways be healthier with his finger, that if that's your best bet, that's not an easy bet.
So what's going to happen against Cousins and the Vikings? I see the Vikings with a 7-10, 14-point victory. I agree with what you said all along all season that it looks like the best chance to win a game would be at Atlanta, but Atlanta, surprisingly, is playing decent football. They're still playing for a playoff spot, believe it or not.
They are. In fact, they went in the last weekend holding that last playoff.
I know.
It's, Philadelphia's right in there, too, which is it's crazy to me. And the Lions have not played teams like that well this year. Those teams that are hovering around the bottom of the playoff positioning. You know, Philadelphia is an example. Baltimore in the AFC, until they picked it up recently, are an example. Cincinnati, the same boat. It's going to be tough for them to pull this one out. Look, Minnesota, they do well what the Lions don't do well. They have multiple people they can attack with through the air. Kirk Cousins, for all the crap he takes, is a pretty darn good passer. Might not be the greatest quarterback, but when you ask a guy to throw the ball to a receiver, he's going to get it there. And with Jefferson and Thielen and K.J. Osborne and the way that they throw to their backs out of the backfield, look, the Lions' deep pass defense, and specifically the corners, are playing well above their pay grade. There's no question about that. But they haven't played a team like this that can throw the ball to a lot of different and talented people since they played Cincinnati, and we saw how that went. This one, they're going to be able to get some points, I think, on Minnesota, but scoring more than what they give up on defense. I know the defense has been playing well, but that's asking a whole lot out of this offense. So I think Minnesota's going to be, big 30-21, something like that is where it's going to be. You know, the Lions are going to surge forward and finally break the 16-point barrier on offense, but they're going to give up more than they have in a few weeks on defense, just because this Minnesota offense, they're really good, and they understand their system. They understand what they do well. Not a lot of teams do that. If you watch Pittsburgh, that's a team that has no clue what they're doing offensively. They don't understand that their quarterback can't throw deep, and they still ask him to make deep, hard, difficult throws. They don't have the pass protection for it either. That's one of the reasons why the Lions tied them. Minnesota doesn't have that problem. They have an identity, and they stick to it, and that's going to be tough for the Lions to beat.
Jeff Risden from TheLionsWire.com, part of the USA Today Network, also one of the co-hosts on the Detroit Lions podcast. You can find on YouTube, joining us on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Any chance that Dan Campbell just gives up calling the plays? He's been brutal at it. He looks lost. I think it's really hurting his karma with the Lions Nation. Some are still holding on, but if he continues to call plays and they finish 0-16-1, I don't know how he gets over that.
He will probably keep calling them throughout this season, but I think he had a little bit of a talk about it in his press conference yesterday, where he has realized that he's got to do a better job. And he talked about running on 3rd and 32. He talked about some of the other decisions he's made where maybe he just has too much to make those sorts of decisions in real time on the field. So I think the realization there is nice. It would be nicer if he acted upon it, maybe let Anthony Lynn get back to calling it. But I think that relationship is done. We talked about it earlier this week. I do think you're going to see a new offensive coordinator come in next year, and that offensive coordinator will have a lot of power to create the scheme and call his own plays. I think Campbell has realized the error of his ways there. Doesn't help us much this year, but going forward, that's one way where he can point and say, hey, you know what? I screwed this up. We've got to get better at it, and I can't do it if I'm going to be an effective head coach. And I appreciate that realization. I'm sad that it came this late in the season. It should have been more obvious to him earlier. But I'd like to say better late than never, but it might not be this year.
No, you know what it should be? He should let Anthony Lynn finish out the season. You're an 0-10-1 team. Let the guy you're paying to be your offensive coordinator call the plays. If he has to come down and stand next to you, so be it. That's the move that needs to be made, not the after the fact, I need to get better, or it's going to be trial by fire the rest of the season because this entire 2021 schedule is lost. They're going to be 0-16-1. If Campbell, as a leader, said, you know what, I'm giving Anthony Lynn the play calling back. He talks to them every day. He can communicate with them on what he wants. If they disagree, he's still the head coach. That's the move that should be made right now.
It is. And if it's not made, and I don't think they're going to, I wonder why Anthony Lynn is still there. Like, what's the purpose of having him there?
Thank you.
And that's something that, you know, that's another one where I don't think that Dan Campbell understood
the responsibilities of
coaching that go with that. That's something that he's learning the hard way.
Yeah, and now what? I'm really tired. I think we talked about this last week. I'm tired of the after the fact. Yeah, I should have been better. I should have been. Man, that just smells of Patricia. And I get they're playing hard. I understand that. But you tell me as a Lions fan, if they're 0-16-1 and they're 4-12-1 next year, but they're still playing hard, are you going to be buying it? It's crazy. The only good thing is, in our final conversation, or part of our conversation here, is that they're going to get the overall number one pick. There is a defensive playmaker sitting there, whether it's Thibodeau from Oregon or Aiden Hutchinson from the Lions right now, based on what their college team is doing. Who do you think is a better immediate impact player to get after the quarterback with the Lions, Hutchinson from Michigan or Thibodeau from Oregon?
I think it's Hutchinson, and I'll give you two reasons. Number one, he's going to test off the charts athletically. He's going to test better than any Watt brother or any Bosa brother did in the combine. The second thing is he's produced at a higher level against significantly better competition than what Thibodeau has faced when he's at Oregon. The Pac-12, we talked about this with Penei Sewell, not a very strong conference in terms of pass rushing or pass blocking. And that's going to be the case with Thibodeau. He's going to come in. He just hasn't played a lot of guys that are going to be in the NFL. He embarrassed a first rounder last week. He's going up against some pretty darn good blockers in this conference and in their non-conference schedule too. That's a big feather in his cap. So I would say that immediate impact, it's got to be Hutchinson. And really, there isn't a wrong answer there, because you're looking at, you know, Hutchinson being, you know, somewhere between T.J. Watt and Nick Bosa, and you're looking at Thibodeau, and he's kind of like, I don't know, somewhere between like a. The name that comes up a lot is Robert Mathis. I don't think he's that quick, but that's a guy that bagged a lot of sacks over time. The other guy that he's like is Von Miller. We saw what Von Miller could do in his prime. If you can give me one of those guys, I would prefer Hutchinson. I'm okay with either one, because they've got to get impact talent on the defensive side of the ball. Their secondary, once they need a safety as well. But the front seven, outside of having a dynamic pass rusher, is in pretty good shape. It really is. I know fans hate the linebackers reflexively. There's a lot worse linebackers playing on a lot better defenses right now than what this Lions team is. They're fine for what this defense needs them to do. They've got to get the impact pass rusher, and they need a guy at the back end who can punish receivers from going over the middle and punish running backs who get out in space. Tracy Walker's pretty good at it. He had a rotten week last week. I do think they're going to re-sign him, but they got to get somebody to run with him, because Will Harris, he ain't it. Dean Marlowe, he sure ain't it.
Jeff Risden, you can follow the Lions 24/7. Lionswire.com, also RISDON, Jeff Risden on Twitter and on YouTube. Search for the Detroit Lions podcast. Jeff, good stuff. We'll talk next week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff Risden joining us on the DraftKings Power Hour. Each and every week we talk about the NFL, presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and they have another no-brainer bet happening right now for all of you that want to get in on the action with the NFL with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Now, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored in a game. So new customers need to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, then use promo code HUGE. Then bet just $1 on any NFL team to score, and you'll win $100 in free bets if they score. It's that simple. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook customers can get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win, and DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want to. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code HUGE when you sign up. Bet $1 on any team to score, and you'll win $100 in free bets. So if they score, you score with promo code HUGE when you sign up this week on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. 21 and up in Michigan only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Up next, former Steelers running back Merrill Hodge will break down the Lions and the Vikings.
You're listening to the DraftKings NFL Power Hour with Huge and former NFL running back Merrill Hodge on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's time to go in the huddle.
1, 2, 3, top flight!
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement because it's a new day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com. The 13th and final week of the 2021 regular season has come and gone in college football, and now it's championship week. The newest college football playoff rankings have Georgia at 1, followed up by Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, and Notre Dame rounding out the top 6. Georgia gets Bama for the SEC title. Michigan heads to Indy for the first time to face off against Iowa for the Big Ten championship. Oklahoma State and Baylor will square off for the Big 12 title, and Cincinnati will get Houston for the AAC championship and a chance to make history as the first ever group of five team in the playoff. It's win or go home. But we also have to ask ourselves what happens to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as an independent without a championship game in that 13th data point the committee has talked about. And as the coaching carousel continues to spin with Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC and Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU, will the committee hold that against the Fighting Irish?
Van Andel Institute Purple Community is a grassroots fundraising network powered by the dedicated volunteers who support VAI's mission to improve human health now and in the future. When you raise funds through the Van Andel Institute Purple Community, 100% of the proceeds go directly to the Institute's research into diseases like cancer and Parkinson's, as well as VAI's science education programs. Learn how you can get involved at purplecommunity.org.
This is your time for a good time. Now go live your life to the funnest. Leave boring behind and come to the place made for nonstop action and excitement, Saguenay Eagles Landing. Where winning big at all your favorite games, tasty bites, and comfy nights all come together. The possibilities are endless, and so is the fun. It's all here, waiting just for you. So come on, Michigan, let your fun out. Saguenay Eagles Landing Casino and Hotel.
Huge here for my good friend Tom Rosenbach. Now, he's a managing partner at Bean Garter. They are one of America's leading tax, accounting, audit, and business service companies. Now, they're based in downtown Grand Rapids on the west side of the state. They service all of West Michigan, all of Michigan, and coast to coast. And Bean Garter has been strengthening local and statewide and national businesses since 1949. How? They talk to you about your business's ambitions. They share the responsibility of achieving those goals, and Bean Garter will over-deliver. They'll give you options. They act with integrity, and they keep their word. That's the Bean Garter approach, and that's how Bean Garter has earned the trust of the business community for almost 70 years. So grow with Bean Garter. Find out more at beangarter.com. That is BeenGarter.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We continue on the DraftKings Sportsbook app NFL Power Hour. We do it every week here on the Michigan Sports Network. Superfly Hayes. He is our executive producer. If you have an NFL comment or question, at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. Also opt in on the Huge text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000. NFL news out of Tampa. Antonio Brown of the Bucs and two other players suspended by the NFL for misrepresenting their COVID vaccine status. Three games. think the Bucks tweeted out earlier, 100% vaccinated a few weeks ago. According to the story, Antonio Brown has missed the Bucks' last five games while recovering from an ankle injury. Now he's guaranteed to miss at least three more. NFL announced Thursday that Brown is one of three players who will be suspended three games for violating the league's COVID-19 protocols, specifically for misrepresenting their vaccination status. So, Brown is suspended three games along with Bucks defensive tackle Mike Edwards and former Bucks wide receiver John Franklin because of their misrepresented vaccination status. I know the status of Merrill Hodge. He is standing by, former Steelers running back, former co-host of ESPN's NFL matchup. He joins us every week on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, my brother. No complaints at all, baby.
All right. What's the breakdown on the film after looking at the Lions from Thanksgiving Day and the Vikings? What are you thinking about Sunday in Detroit?
Well, that's a loaded question, my friend. Let's first start with the Bears. And what's unfortunate, because I almost sound like a broken record, because a lot of the same things keep materializing for the Lions. You know, the one thing I'm going to say before I even get started with them, you know, they don't quit. You know, that is, I mean, I know that's a consolation that doesn't give you anything, but it is, they are great footers, you know, to build on, you know, if you can keep that direction going, meaning consistency with your staff. I mean, that's usually what gets upended before you get to where you need to be, but they are in place. They fight. They play to the bitter end. But I guess you just look at them offensively. You know, they had so many mistakes. You know, penalties. I mean, just were atrocious during the game at critical times. You know, that just ended up being devastating to them. That, you know, and something has happened. You know, and you look at their offense all year, they've had, and that's a little bit of their problem. You know, the quarterback's been inconsistent when scoring territory or when you present matchups that they've won or created that big play. They haven't capitalized enough there. They have made a commitment to that run, which really, for the most part, very few teams have been able to neutralize that, you know. And the Bears didn't really neutralize it. There was just not a lot to complement that, you know. They don't have a lot of explosive elements to their offense, and that comes to, you know, rear its head, you know, especially if you're going to win a championship. You got to have that element to you. If you look at the drive that gave it up, though, you know, you almost could feel it in the drive. You know, the Bears, they really did a good job of having a good balance there. But when Detroit would win a down and put them in second long or even third long, they'd give up that 12-yard chunk. You know, they never gave up any big explosive plays in that drive, but they gave up chunks that mattered right after they won. You know, they'd win a down, then they'd lose a down. And the Bears put together, you know, if you're the Bears, you're talking about, that's what championship teams do. You know, you take, I think, shoot, it was almost 8 minutes, if I remember right, you know, that last drive. And, you know, and you can do that and execute a kick to win it or a touchdown to win it, you know, that bodes well for your team and what you're trying to teach. And they were able to do that. And unfortunately, the Bears they make a good play, then they make a bad play. And too many bad plays at the end that end up costing them. You know, and that's kind of been a theme for them all year, you know, in different levels. Now, if you fast forward to, you know, the team they're going to play this week, they kind of did that to themselves against the Niners last week. It probably reflected more in turnovers. You know, they did a lot of things that really wounded themselves with points. Had they not done that, they'd probably win that game. They clearly played good enough on both sides of the ball to win that game. That's why, you know, everybody gets into stats, you know, this stat, first down, third down, you know, this percentage, that percentage. I'm going to tell you this, the most important stat the most powerful one that indicates is a great representation of wins and losses is in turnovers. Now, turnovers is the greatest indicator of that. And if you could, but you don't get that till after the game. You know, it's not available. But it is the only stat that matters aside from the scoreboard. It's the only stat I've ever cared about. And that's why the priority of not turning the ball over is such a big deal. You know, and if you look at that 49er game where they did turn it over and not coming up with points, when they were in position for points, McKelly could have won a game without doing that. You know, they lose their back, but they have a running attack that's not going to go away. I mean, Detroit's going to have to deal with this. They're extremely balanced. They have playmakers in the wide receiver position, but they don't deviate from their running game. I mean, they still play. They're committed to the run, and they're not going to get away from it, you know, even though Dalvin Cook's not there. And Dalvin gives them that explosive element that you don't have to concern yourself with, but they run the ball with such authority. It's kind of like Detroit, you know. Detroit's not going to give that away. You better control that. It's going to be a problem. It's the same way with the Vikings. You're going to have to control that. You know, you're going to have a lot of problems, you know. And they do a lot of good enough things in the passing game. They do have explosive elements in their passing game that you got to be worried about. They got players that can do that, you know, from a couple different positions. So this is where your back end that's had some problems in the past, talking about the Lions, they have to be really clean. You know, they got to be really sharp in this game to make sure that they just don't give up big plays and big chunks, because that could be the different one, especially if they can't handle the run. You know, but, you know, you never know. It's interesting. Of all to where we are today, there is no defense that's played the Ravens run better than the Lions, which is fascinating to me. It's just, I remember that game has come around. I was like, boy, this might be something. This might be too big for them. And they flat dominated the line of scrimmage. That's kind of what they're going to need here. You know, if they can do that, you know, and they need to do that. They just got to do at least that, along with the combination of running the football, that gives them a chance to win each and every week. But then you really have, now your quarterback has to be more consistent than he's been, capitalize on the opportunities that are presented and that you create in order to win this one. So, but the Vikings, they've kind of had some similar stories. They've lost a lot of games because of self-inflicted wounds. You know, not necessarily a team has beat them. They have done a lot of stuff to contribute to the loss.
His name is Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back in the NFL. He joins us each and every week here on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Make sure you download the app, use promo code HUGE, and new customers can get the hookup. Bet $1 on any NFL game, either team scores, and that no-brainer bet, you'll get $100 in free bets. Just use promo code HUGE, new customer, after downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app. A final question for you, Merrill. I do not like Dan Campbell, who's never been a coordinator, calling plays while trying to manage a game. I think it's been a colossal failure offensively. Your thoughts on Campbell remaining as the in-game play caller on the sidelines?
Well, you know, that's an intimate question simply from this perspective. Without really knowing, you know, the intricacies of their staff, you know, the implementation of a philosophy. As I've been in that, the only reason because I've been in that environment, do I think it's a tough task to call plays and manage a team? Yes, I do. Because that's ultimately what the head coach has got to manage the team, manage the environments, both sides of the ball. And when you are the head coach and you're consumed in play calling and never done that, that's another layer of, or another burden, another layer of things that you got to manage throughout during a game, which you have never done. So I'm going to just give you this. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Dan Campbell does not know how to be a head coach, even though he is the head coach. Okay. And this is a Rooney philosophy. You think of Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, true story. This is how the Rooneys really look at it. When you hire a guy and you put head coach on him, I think everybody expects him to know how to be a head coach. Well, the Rooneys have believed, and this is their philosophy, is he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes. He doesn't truly know all of the aspects of being a head coach. You've got to let him learn
and develop to being a head coach. He's going to make mistakes. As long as you know you have the right guy, stick with him. It's what they did with Chuck Noll. It's what they did with Bill Cowher. It's what they did with Mike Tomlin. If you look at their history, it's exactly kind of what has taken place. They had bumps in the road. Now, clearly not like Detroit has been dealing with, but they don't have a history there either like the Steelers had. But from Chuck Noll to Bill Cowher, I played with both of those coaches, had bumps in the road where if you looked at other organizations, they would have been gone because of the bump in the road. You know, Dan Campbell's learning to be a head coach. You know, when he gets done with this year, he might look back at it and just go, "Ooh, that was way too much. I bought too much on it." But I felt like it was the best thing to do for my team at the time. I'll give you an example. Bill Cowher, first year he makes this rule. You'll never lose your job because of an injury. And I remember when he said it in our first meeting, I was like, "God, I wonder, I mean, that's kind of nice for your starter." I mean, and I was a starter clearly, but I'm like, geez, you know, I mean, things can change, you know, with the player gets hurt. Well, our quarterback gets hurt. Neil O'Donnell. Bobby Brister comes in. His five games that he plays are better than Neil's 11. And any five that he could select. That's how hot he was. And then he ends up starting him in our playoff game against the Buffalo Bills, who come in without Jim Kelly. Well, the one guy who was rusty and behind was Neil, because he hadn't played for over 2 months. And we ended up losing the game. And because we were ineffective, offensively, where we had been rolling for 5 weeks. Now, what Bill Cowher do? He assessed that. Bad thing. Probably shouldn't have done that. Changes it. Okay, a coach learning from making mistakes as a head coach. So it's easy to sit there and, you know, jump on the guy, but he's learned how to be a head coach. Okay, just because he's a head coach, I know you expect guys not to make mistakes, but they're going to make mistakes. If you can be patient enough with them, as long as you believe you have the right guy, which I believe you do, these are the mistakes coaches make. They learn from them, they change them, and then they grow. And unfortunately, the Lions are sick of hearing that. I get it. But I just think that what he's building and who he is and what he has as a staff is something that's going to be beneficial in years to come.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back, former co-host of ESPN's NFL Matchup. He joins us every week on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Good stuff today, Merrill, as always. We'll talk next week.
You got it, my guy. Same thing.
Merrill Hodge joining us here on the DraftKings Power Hour. Final segment, Tom Rosenbach, managing partner at Bean Garter. He'll let me know how I did in my pro football picks in the Beat Huge contest last week. You can get your picks in every week if you want a shot at that $1,000 in cash from Bean Garter, one of America's top accounting and business firms. You have until Sunday morning to get them in every week at thehugeshow.net through the big game in February.
You're listening to the DraftKings NFL Power Hour with Huge and former NFL running back Merrill Hodge on the Michigan Sports Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with the lock of the year. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Simply place a $10 money line wager on either Dallas or New Orleans. And if either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use my bonus code, SHEPBET200, when you make your first bet. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials all season long. All you have to do is download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use my bonus code, SHEPBET200, to win $200 in free bets. And if either Dallas or New Orleans scores a touchdown, you're a winner. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Michigan only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as a non-withdrawable free bet or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Final segment on this week's DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour, something we do each and every week. Normally Fridays, 5 p.m., it kicks off. Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back, joins us. Our Lions insiders in a moment. Tom Rosenbach, managing partner from Bean Garter. They put up the $1,000 in cash in the Beat Huge contest. You beat my pro football picks. It's a weekly contest. You could score $1,000 in cash. Get your picks in every Sunday morning at thehugeshow.net. Normally we're on Fridays at 5 p.m. Tomorrow on The Huge Show across Michigan, 3 until 6, thewolverine.com and on 3.com are presenting a huge Michigan-Iowa Big Ten Championship football game preview show, 3 until 6 tomorrow, exclusively here on The Huge Radio Network. Superfly, if Tom's busy, those things happen. Okay? Don't worry about it. I'll email my picks. We'll be good. Tom's a mover shaker. Bean Garter is one of America's top accounting and business firms. They're located in downtown Grand Rapids. So I'll make my picks on air, Superfly, so everybody will know what I picked, and then you can send them along to Tommy. He's busy. I'm telling you right now. He's the king of West Michigan, soon to be the king of Michigan, and the king of America. On a serious note, no matter how big or small your business is, the pros at Bean Garter can change your business for the better or help you grow. Go to beangarter.com. All right, here we go. Championship weekend picks. Oregon in the Pac-12, getting 2.5 from Utah. I think this will be a revenge game. I like the Ducks, plus 2.5. Baylor's getting 5.5 from Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship game. I like Oklahoma State to win, but I'll take Baylor plus 5.5. Kent State has given Northern Illinois 3.5 points in the MAC championship in Detroit on Saturday. I like Kent State minus 3.5. Brady Hoke and San Diego State taking on Utah State. I like San Diego State minus a 6. Georgia giving Alabama 6.5, man. Georgia has a great defense. That's a lot of points to give Alabama. With that said, I will take Georgia minus 6.5. I think they'll win that game like 27-14. Houston, Cincinnati. Houston getting 10.5. Too many points. Cincinnati will win, but Houston will cover the 10.5. ACC Championship, Wake Forest getting 3 points from Pitt. I think Wake Forest wins this game outright, but I'll take Wake Forest plus the 3. And then Iowa getting 10.5 points against Michigan. The more I break down this game, the more I think Michigan will win big, something like 27-10. I like Michigan laying 10.5 points on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you download it. Always use that promo code HUGE to get the hookups. And new customers this weekend, if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and you use code HUGE when you sign up, you'll then be able to bet just $1 on any NFL game. And the no-brainer bet is, if either team scores in that game you bet a buck on, you'll get $100 in free bets. So download that DraftKings Sportsbook app and always use that promo code HUGE. If you missed any interview, anything today, podcasts are available everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Google, Podbean, iHeart, and more. Just search The Huge Show wherever you download your podcast. And on our website, the all-night, all-day replay happens 24-7. Every 3 hours of the show repeats in its entirety, starting at 6 p.m. at thehugeshow.net.
Big, bad, huge.